Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently.
If you are still using a front desk in your salon, it may be time to future-proof your business with Aura Salonware. Aura allows you and your team to check clients out from any device. That means there's no need for a front desk or front desk overhead. What's even more amazing is that clients can check themselves out using the Aura app from their own device. With Aura Salonware, you can finally let technology streamline your business. Start removing your front desk today by visiting aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
We're here, we're live, we're ready to go, and we're talking about open relationships in the salon industry.
Before we talk about that, can we just talk about how good your hair looks?
Oh, it does?
It does.
I haven't had it cut. I need a haircut really badly.
I think you should bring back the long hair from circa 2018.
If I 17. Lose more weight, then I will have long
hair. We should take a poll on the podcast and just
a lot of people haven't seen me with long hair, I don't think.
Post some pictures. He looks like Harry Styles and Jesus.
No, now I look like an old Harry Styles.
He's getting
I'm
older.
The ghost of Harry Styles' future.
But anyways, your hair looks great. And if you're not watching the podcast, you should be. What are you doing? YouTube, Spotify. Come watch us and see David's good hair.
But we are talking about open relationships today in regards to business. And it is kind of interesting to me, you know, the world is at a place where like open relationships in romantic relationships is a thing. Mm-hmm. But in business, we're still like, I own you. You work for me. You know, it's kind of funny that the romantic side of openness has expanded, but business hasn't fully caught up yet.
Last week, I talked a little bit on the podcast about just unlimited time off, like just the idea of it, right? Like just how could we give our staff more freedom in any way with also responsibility? And the stories of like salon owners just – and I think everyone's experience is in some way – just like having such a chokehold in the worst way on their teams and micromanaging to the point that like I know they're exhausting. Like I have empathy for the leader as well because I'm like, I know you're literally on your last rope and that's why you're acting like this. But to just have this kind of mentality of like we're letting go, we're offering freedoms, we're letting staff experience things, like what would be the worst thing if they did work somewhere else as well as your place?
You know, it's funny. Well, it's funny because I think that letting people, especially hairdressers, we live kind of in this world of our schedules. As much as we have tried to make our schedules normal and to make pricing normal, the world has always tried, how do we streamline everything? And mm-hmm. we're always trying to do that. But because we live in such a creative, or because we work in such a creative industry, it's almost like the streamlining of this industry is really going to come through when we realize that hairdressers need to have freedom to work in multiple spaces.
Yeah. And not everybody wants that.
No.
And it, but when we talk about it, everyone's mind goes to like the reactive of like every hairdresser is going to want to work at a different salon and it's like, no, there's a lot of us. Like I'm a one salon kind of gal. Like, you know, I'm like, if you're loyal to me and you're good, I'm happy if I'm making money. But then I know you, you're like, I want different experiences. Like I want to learn from this great. I want to learn from that great. Like, and I want to just talk about for everyone.
I personally can't imagine working in the same place every day.
Okay. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, that sounds so comforting to me.
Right.
But I want to know that I have the opportunity.
Right. You want to have the freedom whether you use it or not.
It's same thing with unlimited time off. So many stylists are like, I barely take off, but I just want to know that if I need a day off, like I don't have to get on my hands and knees and beg for a sick day. Like,
well, you can even look up studies that show that businesses that offer unlimited time off, their the amount of time off that people take goes down.
So true. I had this big conversation, and just like, let's open the door of an open door policy.
Let's open the door.
We're stepping in for all of you listening and watching my extreme hand movements. This is me opening the door. And let's just think about what it would be, right? Maybe you're a cutting salon, but someone wants to really have an understudy moment of learning color, right? Could they work elsewhere? Could they work in multiple locations that are 20 miles apart? Could they work in different locations that are states apart, right? Like we quote unquote call them like pop-ups, right? Mm-hmm. Let's think pop-ups.
Well, let's also think the other way. What if you own a business and you had stylists coming to you and saying, I would love to just come work here on certain days. I work over here, but I'd also like to work here. In our industry, what we hear is you're going to steal my clients.
Yeah.
But and the reality is that there will always be some overlap because, you know, clients are following stylists. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when you give the freedom of the stylist to go work here and there and everywhere, it elevates the entire industry. Because let's say I have someone on my team and they go work for your salon as well, and they really like your salon better. Why would I then want them to work for me if they've now found a happier home with you? Because here's the alternative.
It's scary for you. It's
terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not saying it's easy.
No.
But the reality is, like, the alternative is that I don't let my staff have freedom. I try to keep them on my team as long as possible. And then we eventually turn into that, like, salon owner that, like, no one likes. And then all of a sudden, we burn bridges. And, you know, the highest paid person's like, I'm going to go do my own thing. You're taking all my money. It's the same cycle over and over. And what we're saying is that having things like open door policies, which means that salon or hairdressers can go here, there, everywhere, and work for you. What you're doing is you're saying, I don't own you. I own the space. And I'm allowing you to come and work here when you want. I'm allowing others to come and work here if they want. And what will happen naturally over time is that the ones that want to stay will take up more space. Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't want to stay will eventually leave. It's a process that's already happening through firing and hiring. This is just allowing that process to take place a little more naturally without the burning of bridges.
I was going to say that, without burning bridges. It also, you know, there was a mass rental exodus. We talk about this all the time. And the reason that everyone did leave is exactly what we're talking about. Like, no freedoms within, there's no like wiggle room, right? But a lot of them don't want to be business owners. Like, they don't want to be responsible. So what we're seeing too is a lot of DTH salons have someone that's an independent that works like 3 days a week in their suite, but then they come work like 2 days a week in the commission salon, and they shadow and they watch and they have camaraderie. And then slowly but surely they realize that they're thriving over here, and they're like, why am I spending so much money over here? This is a safe space for me to be. Yeah. I'm leaving.
The open door policies that we teach at Destroy the Hairdresser, they sound really scary and they are painful, but what you have to, the mindset that you have to get into is that you're, instead of waiting for the inevitable to happen, you're saying, I know people are going to come and go, and I'm not going to stress myself out in that. I'm just going to accept that that's what our industry does, because our industry does that. It's cyclical. We're moving around. We're changing. We want to own a salon. We want to rent a chair. We want to be a commission stylist. We want to do this. We want to do that. Now we do only extensions. Okay, now I want to do hair color only. Like, we have to allow that to happen in our industry, because that's who is running the industry. All of us creative hairdressers are running the industry, and yet we're trying to create these corporate structures.
Yes.
To keep everyone safe, but they don't work in our industry. If they worked, they would have worked by now, and they don't.
If they worked, we would have way less conversations of my toxic commission salon. I mean, that should be a reality show. Like, if what we were doing was
It was called Tabitha Salon Takeover.
We wouldn't have this chaos, right? Like, so we have to start thinking of, like, also salon owners, if you're listening, like, I know that you're feeling this incredible, like, it almost feels like you are bound, right? Like, and you're constantly fighting and to keep clients and keep staff and do all these things. And what we're saying is, like, let's loosen those reins. What if we had the concept of, like, I'm always hiring because this business needs to be staffed. Like, I cannot sit here and wait for you to show up for work. You have freedoms, but I'm going to be hiring constantly.
The idea that this perfect team exists, that, like, I can't tell you how many conversations I have where, like, I just need to get three people in here. That is not true. You getting
15 people.
Yeah. But what they're saying is, I want to fill up my chairs. But there's a disconnect. Filling up your chairs with people doesn't equate all the time to filling your chairs up with clients. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important for people to understand, is that you want clients to fill up that chair, which means you have to rethink how you and who you put in the chair, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm like, okay, I'm going to hire three stylists, and I give them their chair, and I go, okay, all my chairs are booked, and then there's no one has clients.
And the salon is empty.
Yeah, what do I do now? I just say, oh, well, I'll just work on them and help them build. If you're in a place where you can do that, that's great. But a lot of salons are not in a place, especially when they're starting, to be able to do that. It's a huge mistake. But if I have open door policies, I can say, listen, I know I gave you this chair, but the reality is you can work here, but because you don't have clients yet, I still have to hire more people to work in these chairs so that we can start making money. And then that person doesn't have to be fired, but it's not necessarily their chair. And then I have
it for 5 days a week.
Right. And then I have a open door policy where it's like, listen, if you need to go work elsewhere so that you can build clientele and do whatever you need to do, the door is open. Go do that. And maybe, you know, a lot of times they might just leave, and a lot of times they might come back when they feel ready. I can't tell you how many people that our salons reach out to, and they're like, oh, we have an open door policy, you can work here. And they love the idea, but even stylists are like, so I can go work other places? Mm-hmm. And all of our DTH salon owners are like, you can work wherever you want. It takes people a minute to get used to, because even if they know they have permission to do it, it still feels wrong, because we've spent so many years, you know, telling each other that we own hairdressers and you have to sign this and you have to work here. And if you don't work here, you have to work 10 miles away or something stupid. But that open door policy is really beneficial, although very scary.
I would say a lot of people, looking at all of our DTH salons, it's very rare that stylists use it. It's there. Some of our coaches do have stylists, like, that they share salons in the local area. And, you know, I had a big conversation with a student recently, and they were like, well, you know, they work more at the other place than they do at my place. And when they come in the one day a week, they're just sitting there. And we had this big conversation of, like, well, you need to hire, because this isn't their chair. Like, we need to keep hiring. We cannot wait for them to do something. You're either here and you're working and you're actually building your business. Like, stylists, we can't wait for salons to flood clients to us. What broke that is influencer culture. It used to be salons had the precedent. And I'm not saying that some salons still do that are very popular, but still influencer, right? So influencer culture ruined this for us, because it used to be you would go to a salon based on the product company, or you would go to a salon based on this. Well, then social media happened, and now we're all individuals. So now people are going to the individual at whatever salon they're working at. And so what's great about this is that now people are going to you, but the salons aren't harboring clients anymore. They're not flooding clients into your chair like they used to, right? So it's important to be able to, like, I'm continuously hiring. I'm hiring stylists that want to build and want to grow. And the perk is they have the freedom to come and go as they please and live their life, but also work in my space.
Absolutely. And I think it's this, what we're trying to do at Destroy the Hairdresser is help people with these new transitions and these new ways of doing business that are very scary, but they are beneficial for everyone. So all I can encourage you to do, if you're listening, is stay open, stay very curious, stay willing to try new things. And remember, the tool of an open door policy, and again, we haven't really discussed all the nuances of Mm-mm. of an open door policy, which is something that you would work on privately with a coach. However, what this policy is doing is saying we're accepting the inevitable. We're accepting that there's going to be movement within my business. People are going to come, people are going to go, and I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to learn how to work with it. And that's what this policy is about. It's not about making my business a free-for-all. It's not about stylist over salon owner or salon over stylist. It's really about taking a critical view of our industry and saying, this is an inevitable process. This is how we work with it. Let's make our lives easier and find ways to work with the in and out flow of stylists and create solutions from there. And now a word from our sponsors.
We at Destroy the Hairdresser, in a groundbreaking collaboration with health industry veterans, are bringing our listeners health plans that cover every professional in the beauty industry. This includes individuals, teams, and families. We are currently in the process of insuring thousands of beauty professionals in all 50 states. Healthcare benefits are now open, and guess what? There's no enrollment deadline. Sign up during any month of the year and gain health benefits quickly. Get your name on the list by visiting destroythehairdresser.com/hairdresserhealthcare.